The Volume.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Death on the Nile, exclusively in theaters Friday. The greatest detective of all time, Hercule Poirot, returns to solve another deadly case. Join Poirot on a wild ride down the Nile River, promising luxury, intrigue, and murder. Grab your friends and get ready to solve this murder mystery on the big screen, starring Kenneth Branagh and Gal Gadot, premiering only in theaters Friday.
The J-Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, or you're taking the overs, the unders, they make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER, visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
All right, everybody. Hope you are having a great Friday. Appreciate you guys joining us here on the J-Boy Show. Got David Cohn and Blaine Crane here with me as usual. A couple big topics to get to. There's been some movement in college football, some craziness at a press conference in college basketball, and then going to get a score prediction for an Auburn-Kentucky game that's probably one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game so far of the college basketball season when you start looking toward long-term and seeding. But before we do that, go ahead and turn on those notifications, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button as well. And let's jump right in. I want to start with Derek Mason potentially leaving Auburn to go to Oklahoma State to be the defensive coordinator and what that means. Looking like if that happens, then Jeff Schmetting, one of the Boise transplants that came with Brian Harsin, would be elevated to defensive coordinator. I put out on social media last night that, you know, if you're an Auburn fan that is totally freaking out about Derek Mason leaving, I don't think you should be freaking out to the point of it's a total disaster or that somehow this is going to set the program back 5 or 10 years. Now, he hasn't officially left yet. We all know the coaching world can be crazy. But when you look at Derek Mason and the final product of Auburn's defense, not a bad year. You know, they showed up against Alabama, even though there's been some talk that Jeff Schmetting had a little bit more going into that Alabama game and during that Alabama game from a play calling standpoint than what he had recently. I don't want to dive too far down that rabbit hole because it's really neither here nor there. But if Derek Mason does leave Auburn to go to Oklahoma State, you know, really not a lateral move going from the SEC to the Big 12 that's losing Texas and Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma State hadn't exactly set the world on fire or have proven themselves to be a big time brand name when it comes down to the postseason and winning national championships. They do have resources, obviously, with T. Boone Pickens' money and what he's done for that university, what he was able to do for that university. But when I look at Derek Mason leaving, it just kind of it is. You know, Mike Bobo being let go after his first year, after some of the things that went down. It's not a good look when you lose your coordinators after the first year, if this were to happen. But it's not like Auburn is going to be, you know, diving deep to try and, you know, find some sort of huge replacement for Derek Mason. They're going to upgrade Schmetting into the DC role. So I don't see it as that big of a loss. I mean, it took the guy 6 weeks to figure out to get out of three down and stop playing pre-med. I mean, it took him 6 weeks. I could have told you that after the first 3 days, especially after the first game. Auburn did put some good performances together, but you look at the Mississippi State game, we can go back to a lot of games where Auburn wasn't playing complimentary football. So I don't think it's that big of a loss. It would be a nice game for Oklahoma State. But if you're an Auburn fan, I don't think you should panic. A lot of people will look, well, you're going to lose this recruit, you're going to lose that recruit. What's going to happen is going to happen if he leaves. I thought the best thing Derek Mason did at Auburn was recruit. And you've heard some stuff behind the scenes about him, you know, not being super happy, but still sticking it out through signing day. Cone, I'll kick it to you first. If Derek Mason does leave Auburn, how big of that big of a hit is that for Auburn?
I think Auburn can replace him, to be honest with you. Look, we complimented Brian Harsin when he first got to the SEC, his first stint in the SEC, really, when he hired two former SEC guys as his coordinators, right, with Derek Mason and Mike Bobo. We thought, man, that shows a lot of maturity. That shows that he really wants, you know, to lean on the expertise of these guys who have run through the gauntlet of this conference. And look, it didn't lead to an awesome season, but I still think it was the right decision for him to do that, okay, when he came in and took the head coaching job at Auburn. Now Mike Bobo is gone, and it's looking like Derek Mason is going to be replaced, or Derek Mason is going to head out. I'll be interested to see what exactly the financial terms are for this, Jake, because the way I understand it, he was getting $1.5 million a year to be the defensive coordinator at Auburn, okay? You guys correct me if I'm wrong, but look, he was getting a sizable chunk of change to be the DC there, and the way I understand it is the previous DC who went to Ohio State was getting like $800,000. So even if they doubled the amount that they're going to pay a DC in Oklahoma State, you know, it would still be sort of a lateral salary move, and then you're leaving the SEC. So all signs to me point to some sort of tension with Brian Harsin. But you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I just think that Auburn can replace Derek Mason and not lose a whole lot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And Blaine, how would you grade Derek Mason? And I will say this. A lot of people around the program didn't expect Derek Mason to be at Auburn for more than 2 years, but not to take another defensive coordinator job, but to possibly be a head coach again. Blaine, what do you think?
No, I would agree. I'd give him a B+. I mean, you kind of look at the Auburn personnel that they had, two experienced linebackers, Roger McCreary at corner, he's a first-round pick, you know, and a couple of good safeties. You know, he got a couple of transfers in. But, you know, I look at this for Derek Mason, and I would say it's a lateral move, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you don't have to go against the Bamas and the Georgias, right? And you look at that Oklahoma State defense, especially from last year, I believe they finished with the fourth or fifth best total defense in the nation and returning eight starters, right? And you're saying Oklahoma and Texas are going to be out. So, you know, I don't really see this as a too big of a lateral move. You can say it's Harsin and all this, but at the end of the day, Derek Mason wants to be a head coach somewhere at a big program, right? And, you know, stability, especially at Oklahoma State, where can you find better stability, especially at a head coach, other than Utah and Cal Winningham? So, you know, realistically, I look at this for Derek Mason as being almost a good move. You're getting away from Georgia and Alabama to a very good defense that's returning a lot of starters to where maybe, you know, you look in the next year or two and he's going to get a big time job. And, you know, for big SEC teams, it's nothing new when coordinators are kind of like a revolving door. You know, me and Ryan kind of hit on earlier in the show, you know, LSU, especially the offensive coordinator position, you know, it's in and out every 1 to 2 years. So this is nothing new for big SEC programs. I think Derek Mason will be fine and Auburn will be fine at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, another thing, too, I want to brush on, Kendall Briles, you speak about stability, staying at Arkansas. That's a huge retainer for many reasons, but you have an experienced, a very successful, even though he's still really young, offensive coordinator on Kendall Briles that is going to be back with his quarterback, KJ Jefferson. So that is a big 1-2 a 1-2 punch in a good direction for the Razorbacks, and Arkansas is a scary team. I know they've had some departures, but Sam Pittman has had a lot of stability. In a college football world that has lacked stability, Arkansas continues to show the ability to keep guys, to show the ability to have stability. And again, that's huge in recruiting as well. A lot of people talk about on the field and this, that, and the other, and being able to have practice structured somewhat similar and getting used to the same voice and how he goes about things. But recruiting, especially in high school, is about relationships, establishing those relationships over long terms. These kids are getting recruited freshman, sophomore year of high school, and having that same voice, having that same coordinator, knowing you're going to that same system, I think is going to yield even better recruiting results for an Arkansas team that is recruiting at a very high level and putting a good product on the field. So there's going to be a lot of shifting around. Billy Napier, I do got to give him a shout out. As a special teams guy, created a new position for Chris Couch, who's basically going to be the special teams guy. It's one of the funniest things we're seeing. He's the game changer coach. That's what it is, the game changer, which if you're a smart guy, you realize special teams can change the game. So shout out Chill Bill for giving a shout out to the special teams guys. But I do we want to move from college football to college basketball. And I want to say this. Penny Hardaway, unbelievable player. Absolute stud as a player, one of the best to do it. But he just had a press conference, and I'm the first to say I don't mind if a coach cusses during a press conference. I don't mind if a coach kind of gets after reporters a little bit in a press conference. But when you've really accomplished nothing at Memphis, when you've gone there and had top recruiting class after top recruiting class, and then you have a cop out in a press conference saying, well, we're playing these freshmen and this, that, and the other, and that other team had their whole roster. Everybody's dealing with roster problems right now. It's not just in Memphis. There's not just a fence built around Memphis. And you said in 2019 that you wanted all the smoke. Well, you got it, and you're choking on it. You better get low and get out the door before the house burns down. So I didn't think that was a very good look from Penny Hardaway when you're not winning. When you're winning, you can do stuff like that. You watch Nick Saban get after reporters all the time. You want to know why? Because he's winning. Because he can. 2019 LSU, Ed Orgeron wasn't exactly the best friends of reporters, but he could because they were winning and dominating. Penny Hardaway hasn't won at Memphis. It's been an absolute train wreck. I mean, they're basically a shoo-in for the NIT, and then, you know, a big win against Bama this year, but nothing much else to show for this Memphis team. And then you get beat by SMU at home. You trailed the whole game. Blaine, that was a bad look, in my opinion, for Penny Hardaway, especially if you're not winning.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Penny Hardaway could probably have found an easier way to get this message out, right? And, you know, you have two number one recruiting classes. You're 72 and 40 and with no NCAA appearances. And, you know, we kind of talked about this the other day on the show. You know, we talked about John Calipari. What do you do? Can you maximize the talent that you get, right? And you're looking at Penny Hardaway right now, and he's not doing that. And you can say this, you can blame that. But at the end of the day, buddy, it's on you. It's not the player's fault. It's not the fan's fault. And it's sure as hell not the media's fault, because you can say all you want. You can make all the excuses you want. At the end of the day, you have to produce results. That's what you're here to do, produce results and get wins. And you have two number one top recruiting classes, right? And you don't have an NCAA appearance with the talent and the history that Memphis had, especially what John Calipari did there. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't always translate from player to coach. It just doesn't work sometimes, and that's not a big deal, but you can recruit great. But if you can't develop guys, it doesn't matter. And I think at the end of the day, and I think Penny can kind of see the writing on the wall, and he knows what's coming in a couple weeks, so he'll either pick it up or he's going to get shipped out.
Yeah, and Cone, I find it kind of hilarious and hypocritical to make excuses about roster structure when you're responsible for signing the kids and putting – it's not like people aren't winning with freshmen. This is basketball, dog. Like, this isn't a football developmental thing where you're having to go 3 or 4 years. You can get a couple freshmen and look around the country. I'll give you – Jabari Smith, I'll give you an example. I mean, you look around the country, there's a lot of places that win with freshmen. That's what's hilarious to me. How can you get upset at the media over roster structure, Cone, when you've been there a while and you control the roster?
Yeah, you know, my father always used to tell me, you can get away with saying almost anything you want if you pay special attention to how you say it, right? And so he could have gotten this same message across, okay, to the media, the same way that Nick Saban and Bill Belichick do, if he had been a little bit more professional in his demeanor on what he's saying. Because in a lot of respects, he's not wrong, Jake. I think with what he was talking about with the roster a lot was, he was saying, look, we have some, you know, we've had some guys out and some COVID issues and things like that. So look, I would like to think if Penny Hardaway will forever be remembered for me as a great basketball player, if he wants to continue moving on to try and be a phenomenal basketball coach, then I think he's going to have to be a little bit more professional when it comes to these media interviews. Okay. But, you know, on the schedule side of things, look, they were able to reel off 8 of 9 wins last season to finish the season, almost got into the tournament, didn't quite make it, and went on to win the NIT. They have 11 games left this season, I believe. So let's say he goes off.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was able to reel off 9 or 10 wins of this of these next 11 coming up. Maybe he is able to fight his way in to the tournament this season. And with some of those guys coming back with whatever the COVID issues are, like we've said, if you can just find your way into the tournament, okay, and he has put together a good roster at Memphis, if he's able to find his way into the tournament, maybe he can make some noise. And this is just enough to get the squad going. And then in 6 months, we'll be looking back and laughing at this.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on demand, which means you can get all your favorite sports, movies, and shows together. So you can watch new episodes of your favorite reality shows live or binge old episodes on demand. Either way, get ready for some drama. And the best part? DirecTV Stream has no annual contract. DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
Yeah, and again, you know, I talk about college football. I want all the traditional teams to be good in college football. I know that's an impossibility, but it's not like it's impossible to win at Memphis. I mean, we've seen it. We talked about Coach Cal yesterday. I mean, he did it at Memphis. One of the reasons he got the Kentucky job was because he was balling so hard at Memphis and what he was able to do there. And it has been such a surprise to me to see Penny with the cachet. I know he knows basketball. Nobody's doubting whether Penny Hardaway knows basketball. But to Blaine's point, it doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how good you were as a player when you were coaching. It's about what you can get the players to know and be able to develop the players into what they have, which is a ton of potential. You're going to miss on guys in recruiting, even high-rated guys. We see it in every sport. But you're not going to miss on everybody. So there's a disconnect there. But you're not going to miss any good basketball this Saturday, especially in the SEC, as we've got a couple of big-time matchups. I'm going to get to Auburn and Kentucky. But LSU going to Tennessee. I mean, this is one. We look at the middle of the conference. These are two teams that were expected to be at the higher level of the SEC. Yep. It's kind of a logjam right now. We know LSU hasn't had Pinson. Interested to see how Darius Days is. Cone, I'll start with you. How big of a matchup is this in Knoxville for Tennessee? And then LSU being able to have the possibility for the second straight game, even though they lost to Alabama, go and get a quad one win on the road.
Yeah, definitely. And look, with the back-to-back on the road, I thought they were going to squeak out that win at the very end there against Alabama just because Alabama wasn't able to do anything down low. Now, Shackelford and Quinterly were able to keep them in there, and that is a tough loss to LSU because you almost were able to beat a good Alabama team on the road when you were down players. But like I said, I think LSU can bounce back from that, but they can't afford too many more of these type of losses. So I don't know exactly what the roster is going to look like. I don't know if they're going to have all their guys back. Certainly Easton played the game of his life over there in Tuscaloosa. I think he had 26 points, but you could see at the end of that, he was fatigued, man. He was fatigued. Like a ball just bounced off of him and went out of bounds at the end of the game because he carried the whole team on his shoulders. He can't do that every single week. And even that one, they still lost. So look, another tough game on the road. You can't afford to lose too many more of these, but LSU with the first half of their schedule has set themselves up nicely. Okay, if you can go to Knoxville, if you can get this win, then that's going to build some nice momentum as you head into the SEC tournament.
Yeah, to quote the great philosopher Big Sean, last night took an L, but today I bounce back. Blaine, when you look at LSU and this Tennessee matchup, tell me kind of what you think and give me a score prediction. Cone, I'll get one from you. I'll drop mine and then we'll move on to a massive showdown in the jungle Saturday at noon. What do you think about LSU Tennessee?
I like LSU in this game. I think LSU, man, I look at Tennessee, and they're a good basketball team. I think they need to get more out of Justin Powell, to be honest. You go back to Justin Powell at Auburn. I mean, the kid, the only thing he did was score points, right? He was just an absolute just absolute sauce from outside.
And ran point for Auburn. When Sheree
and ran point for Auburn. Yeah, and ran point for Auburn. So I got into this LSU game. You know, I think they have too much speed, and I think LSU is only getting better. I think Tennessee is an extremely slow team, and if Tennessee's not shooting the ball well, I really don't see how they're going to win this game, especially with the defense that LSU plays. So if I was going to pick a score for this game, give me LSU 77, Tennessee 71.
Cone, what do you got?
I got LSU 70, okay, Tennessee 63.
All right, so I'm on the other side. I think LSU is going to struggle to score. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, these are two defenses that can get really hot. I think it's going to be, you know, to quote Coach Red Bayou on the Water Boy, it's about to get awfully physical, right? especially if you don't give Rick Barnes that green notebook. But look, the matchup down low with Ephraim Reed, and Fulkerson's got to step up. I mean, this is 2 years in a row. Yeah. He's only played college basketball for 27 years at Tennessee. Eventually, he's going to figure it out, you would think. But if he doesn't in this game, you know, I would be shocked, because I do think Ephraim Reed is still learning. I think Fulkerson can use kind of his veteran moves down low to maybe get him in some foul trouble early. We'll be interested to see that. Give me Tennessee 61. LSU 57. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
That is low-scoring.
Home court. Now, moving on to the showdown on Saturday on CBS at noon. You've got number 2 Auburn hosting a top-ranked Kentucky team. I think they're 12th or 13th the last time I checked. I need to go look at that again.
12.
It's going to be a great matchup. I mean, these are two complete teams and two teams that want to play fast-paced. I don't think it's going to hurt either team to be able to go up and down. Some of the matchups I look at, Wendell Green versus Sevier Wheeler, and even Zet Jasper, who's been called the best on-ball defender in the SEC and in the country by some guys, on Sevier Wheeler, a guy that really stirs the drink now that he's back for Kentucky. Grady didn't shoot it well the other night, but he's shown up for big games. And then Oscar Tshiebwe, and matching up with Walker Kessler and a little bit of Dylan Cardwell down low. It's going to be fun to watch. Auburn students are camping out as we speak. And they're going to stay overnight in freezing temperatures. It may be the craziest environment that Auburn basketball has ever seen on Saturday. Blaine, what do you think? Give me a score, too.
Ooh, man, I love this game so much. It's like that movie Pacific Rim. Have you ever seen that movie? Where just giants fight each other the entire movie. This is what that's going to be like. I can't wait to see Oscar Tshiebwe and Walker Kessler go at it, right? Because you go back to that A&M game a little bit. You know, A&M did some things with Oscar Tshiebwe in the first half that kind of limited him. You know, he ended up getting 15 boards, and that's fine. But it's going to be a little bit different beast when you're walking at 7-1 Walker Kessler and 6-10 Jabari Smith, right? It's going to be a little bit different. I think a huge name for this game, all right, has got to be KD Thompson. This guy brings the energy and sets the tempo and the pace for the Auburn Tigers, especially at home. I think Kentucky's only getting better, but I think Auburn's a better basketball team at this point. So I'm going Auburn 81, Kentucky 77.
Yeah, I don't think you're too far. I think it's going to be somewhat high scoring. Cone, when you look at is this going to be who gets in foul trouble first? Because when you look at the depth, Auburn does have more depth than Kentucky. If Tshiebwe does get in foul trouble early, and when you have Walker Kessler, who I still believe is Mr. Fantastic, he can just stretch his arms out like 19 feet to be able to catch lobs, and his layups are the craziest looking things I've ever seen in my life. How do you see this game going? Who do you got winning?
Well, you know, Alabama was able to get Kessler in foul trouble early, and that didn't slow him down against the Tide, and I think that game was even in Tuscaloosa, right? So, look, these are two great basketball programs. Come 1 p.m. this Saturday, it's still going to be January, but it's going to feel like March, okay? I can't wait to watch this game. I'm so excited for it. I like Auburn in this game, man. I actually think it'll be a little bit more high-scoring than what Blaine had, just because I know both of them are going to run so much. I mean, they're going to go up and down the court. It's going to be fun to watch. I've got 85-82 Auburn. Jake, what do you think?
Look, I think an X factor, there's two guys I'm looking at. Number one, if Jalen Williams plays well for Auburn, Auburn is a lot better. If he's able, you know, he's been able to hit wing threes on the perimeter, has done it in multiple games. If he's playing well and Alan Flanagan plays under control and doesn't just try and run. I swear Alan Flanagan's a running back. I swear if you put on Auburn's football team and handed him the ball, he'd be a problem. He's got to be able to play more under control, hit a few threes, against Georgia. But, you know, I think this is going to be a game that comes down to a couple possessions. Is Wendell Green going to shoot one from Opelika and get the crowd going? KD Johnson, I wonder if he's just, you know, his spirit is going to leave his body at some point during this game, go up to the rafters and come back. It's going to be nuts. The thing you can't do if you're Auburn is come out and play out of control and be so juiced up with the crowd and this, that, and the other that, you know, you're not playing your game. And so I'll be interested to see the pace. I like Auburn. Give me 79, Kentucky 73. Free throws are going to be huge in this game late as well. Whoever can hit free throws, I think, is going to have a lot of success, especially the big guys, whether it's Walker Kessler, whether it's Shibway, kind of looking down the rest of the list. But it's going to be a great matchup. There's some more great matchups in college basketball. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Turn those notifications on. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your college basketball watching. Enjoy your NFL football watching. We'll be back soon. And like, we got one more month to go, guys. It's going to be March here soon. And like the college basketball regular season, if you blink, it's going to be going, gone.
The Volume.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.